Okay, here we are at the fourth lecture of the 22nd American ACC. I think the date is what? Third, isn't it? 3rd Jan AD 11, okay? Now, a lot of you are suffering the tortures of the damned at the thought of getting rid of some overts in form of withholds. This is very tough. I would say that I sympathize with you if I didn't realize that it was these withholds that was caving you in. So therefore, I don't think I'll sympathize with you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I might pity you. But if you don't get these things off, if you don't get these things off as an auditor, off the PC, he's not going to go anyplace. Case isn't going to move, and that's it. You understand? Fruitful sources, reasons why cases don't move, great big withholds. Present time problems, case not in session. It's rather amusing, you know, this last one about cases in session. Very amusing. You would be utterly fascinated. Arguing with an auditor who's got his hands on some raw meat, has just in off the streets, never heard about Scientology or anything else, but has come in because his wife made him. And he sits there and he says, whom I failed to help? Well, I failed to help my wife, my father, my mother, my business partner, and that's about all, Debbie. That's all. Okay, now you can ask me about something else. And the auditor says to you, well, now how do I get him educated into answering auditing questions? How do I get him indoctrinated so that he will be a PC? And you say, well, this is happening because the person isn't in session. Yeah, well, actually, that isn't the thing. That isn't the thing. The thing about it is he doesn't know anything about auditing. You see, that isn't, he's not in session. He doesn't know anything about auditing. No, you say, well, no, the person is not in session. You understand? The person is not in. No, the auditor said, no, it's not that he's not in session. It's the fact that he doesn't know anything about being audited, you see, and he really doesn't want to be audited, and he doesn't know anything about this, you see, and how do you get to that person? And you say, well, listen carefully. The person is not in session. Well, I can see that, but I'm also trying to solve this other problem. What other problem? Problem, he doesn't know anything about Scientology. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. Keep saying, well, whom you failed to help? Well, I failed to help you and my wife and me and my father and mother and I just, that's all. I mean, there's nobody else. That's it. Now, of course, he doesn't know that he's supposed to answer the question, you see, and he's supposed to answer the question and then that I'll ask the question again, and so on. He's supposed to answer the question. He doesn't understand that. And that's the problem I'm up against. You say, no, look. He's not in session. Yeah, well, that's what I've been trying to tell you. That's what I've been trying to tell you. He's not in session. Not in session at all. Because he isn't educated, and so on and so on. You say, now, look. What is the definition of being out of session? Oh, well, that's easy. Not interested in known case, not talking to the auto. Oh, I see what you mean. That's right. The fellow's not in session, is he? Well, how the hell do you remedy that? I can't explain to you about it. He says he's not interested in anything. He just came in because his wife wanted him to, and there isn't any reason for him to be audited and so forth because he says he's sane. But it pleased her, so he's in here to be audited. And say, okay, throw him in an engram. Throw him in an engram and run the engram. That's a pretty good idea. All right, I'll do that. Gets the meter. Throws the PC in an engram. See the auditor a few days later. The auditor says, we're not getting along so good. He just ran like the mischief for a while. I was real interested and so forth. But not so good now. Not so good. He's starting this stuff over again. Doesn't see how I'd get him any place, that sort of thing. What do you think's wrong with him? He's not in session. That's right, he's not in session. Shall I throw him in a second engram? Well, the first engram, it ran all right for a long time, but then he got bored. And you say, oh, no. Oh, no. No, please. Please. When people run engrams, they go through a band of boredom. Go back and flatten the first engram that you ran on him. Oh, you don't think it's flat? Oh, he said it was flat. He said he was bored with it. Now, look, I know you weren't in Elizabeth in 1950, but I will assure you that a PC eventually tells you that he's bored with the engram. You have arrived at 2.5 on the tone scale. You want to get the engram to 4.0. You have 1.5 tones to go. All right, I'll flatten it. I'll flatten it. A few days later. Well, how are you getting along? Boy, he says this is the most. This is the most. He's gotten rid of his sciatica, and he always wondered where he got that sciatica from. And it was falling downstairs or something, and so on. It's all very interesting. And so on. What are you doing now? I don't know. He's running failed help all right now. But I don't know how long it's going to last because he isn't educated. Well, is he willing to talk to you? Yeah, well, that's kind of the trouble. He's just telling me everything, you know. And, well, is he interested in his own case and where he's going and so on? Interested in his own case? Oh, yeah, he's interested in his own case. He's interested in his own case, but he set up a lot of goals. I don't know whether we can make them or not. Well, you just go on and run that failed help and run him on up the line, and we'll keep check on him. Okay. Brand new HCA on staff, first time off, raw meat. Nobody has ever said to this person anything about how you run a person who doesn't know anything about being a PC. As the problems. These problems always become much more complicated, though, than they actually are. It is absolutely, vitally, vividly necessary for the PC to be interested in own case and willing to talk to the auditor. If these two things are violated or are not brought into being, the PC is not in session. Now, what throws the PC, first and formally and primarily, out of session? What throws the PC out of session? Getting disinterested in his own case and unwilling to talk to the auditor. But the first thing that happens is he becomes unwilling to talk to the auditor. That comes up before interest goes out. All right? So that is out of sessionness. In sessionness is to get the PC interested in his own case and willing to talk to the auditor. Now, the last of those is the most important, and you get him willing to talk to the auditor by pulling off his withholds so that he isn't continually afraid that the auditor's going to find out something about him which is discreditable. Look, he picked up a body, didn't he? Look, I'll level with you. The guy picked up a body, didn't he? And he picked up a body on earth here, didn't he? And probably it was even during a Republican administration. Well, now, how discreditable can you get? And he's sitting there worrying about telling you about some of his peccadillos of some kind or another. He thinks these are important. Of course, I think some of these PCs aren't really getting off with holes. They're just bragging. Of course, having sailed, swum, flown, and fought my way in this lifetime through practically every continent on this planet, in various guises, shapes, forms, and wiggles, and during wars and depressions and that sort of thing, I have a pretty good idea of what men do that they withhold and what girls do that they withhold. It just got borne in upon me somehow that there are several classes of activity that they withhold. And fortunately for you, I'm not a saint. I was canonized once, so it was during a battle. My own guns, too. Walked out on the bridge dodger. There was a submarine blown to the surface. And the boy on the training ledge brought the gun back right on past the bridge dodger to shoot the submarine. I almost became a saint right there. I think I yo-yoed for about a half an hour. I've been canonized. Anyhow. Anyhow, having been associated with sailors and Aborigines and Chinese and Lascars and Arabs and Mongols and Russians and you and for quite a few years here now, man and boy, I don't think you could surprise me. Not with the withhold. The only way you could surprise me would be being a stupid auditor and not getting one off the PC. That might surprise me. You might have a new method of being stupid about it that myself and the instructors haven't heard about. It's possible. It's possible. One of the horrible difficulties of trying to duplicate instructing a large class is some of the questions. And sometimes the instructors will try to tell you some question that was asked them, and it was so far-fetched that they can't duplicate it. So that's the way you want to hang your instructors, you know, ask them good, stupid questions. But anyway, getting back to this, I realize that you have been a saint and that you've never done anything wrong and you've never done anything really discreditable. I realize that. Only thing I'm glad of is I don't think I haven't. Now, of course, if you want to go around and pretend that you are a saint, why, you'll probably exteriorize one of these days, either with or without the body, but you won't be in very good condition. So therefore, best thing to do is to square it up. Now, probably your auditor is going to be terribly shocked at what you reveal. That's certain. It might even kill him with shock. But might even ruin him completely. But I said might. Personally, there's nothing more disheartening, really, than getting off in a good, juicy, obscene overt, see, of some kind or another. And you get this thing off, and you've been holding your breath on it for the last 12 questions, you know, and you finally heave a horrible gasp and take the deep plunge and say what it is, you know. That's it. And have the auditor say thank you and ask the next question. Downright disheartening. Anyway, PC isn't going to be in the session if he's unwilling to talk to the auditor. And he's liable to manifest all manner of disinterests, wiggles, squirms, squeaks, and yawks, and appear very bored, or appear very jumpy, and appear very this, and appear very that, but basically disinterested in his own case. Now, he thinks if he can be disinterested enough in his own case, you won't be interested enough to pull the withhold. He recognized that as setting an example. PC sets the example of disinterest so the auditor won't be interested. Right? You will hear this. You will hear this continually. It has something. There will be some of this around every major withhold in the PC. Oh, well, it's not very important and so on. I never attached very much importance to it. But I'm not even terribly interested in that particular zone. Disinterest, you see. So it's greater or lesser, the amount of disinterest the PC will try to set as an example. So recognize disinterest for what it is. It has something to do with a withhold. Now, disinterest can also have something to do with you bracketing the wrong target on the case and being terribly certain that your script fits the case and not paying much attention to the case. See, now that can also have something to do with disinterest. But we heal that with making the auditor capable of auditing the right processes on the PC. And if you're auditing the right processes on the PC, then the only time this disinterest factor shows up is when the PC has a withhold. Got it? So we assume that you are running the right target and that you're not being knuckleheaded about auditing the PC and that you are fitted up in some slight degree with the PC's goals and so forth. Then, assuming that, if disinterest shows up, then we assume that there is a withhold of some kind or another. Now, this is not particularly true of the ARC break. The individual has been chopped and starts withholding the whole of himself from the auditor. That, again, is a withhold, you understand, but comes under the heading of an ARC break. Got that? It's still a withhold, but it's a special kind of withhold. So, this is we used to have laws in bridge, when in doubt, lead Trump, or something of that sort. Why, when in doubt, and the PC is disinterested, why, find the withhold. Okay? That's the magic corkscrew. It pulls the cork on the non-communication. Now, pre-session 37, as I've told you, has to be varied. What the object of pre-session 37 is to get the withholds off the case and to run a bit of OW to give the PC some havingness. You got that? That's the goal of that thing. Now, the OW also greases up the with holes so they're more readily slipped. So it serves a double purpose. But the question, what question shouldn't I ask you, must not at any time become a routine, repetitive question. This is a pre-session and so forth. Neither must it become a long two-way calm yak. Find somewhere in your bank the valence of a terrier going after a rat and start pulling the with holes. Now, what makes with holes so important? This I would like to talk to you about because I have never talked about it before. With holes is actually the calm level of the scale, which starts at the top with interest, goes into communication, goes into control, goes into help, goes into failed help, inverted help, inverted control, inverted communication, and inverted interest. Got that scale? Well, now what you're doing is you're pulling inverted communication off of the PC. Now, if you've got to pull an inverted interest off a PC, you're undoubtedly dealing with some neurotic tendency or some kind or another, and you can actually find its genus on the E-meter and run it. An inverted interest of some kind or another. And the fellow says, well, I reason I really want to be audited is every time I see a dog, I bite his ears off. Just can't help it, you know. Wonderful. Collect more dog ears that way. And you just can't get him off this subject. Well, you just better start finding out about it on the E-meter and handle it dianetically. But look here. You're dealing with neurotic or psychotic level cases when you're down that low. It's practically institutional auditing. And it's very doubtful if in any practice that you're operating in, very, very doubtful if you will have to do very much of this. You may have to do some of it. But it's not something that you're going to take as major importance. But you're going to take communication as major importance. You're not straightening up communication in the upper scale. Interest, communication, control, help. See, you're not straightening up that communication up there. You're straightening up the inverted communication. The thought of communicating out brings about reasons why one must communicate in, which is a withhold. One is known. Got it? And most of these discreditable activities which are being withheld are discreditable communications. Now, the PC will even tell you that it's discreditable to communicate them to you. A PC often feels like it's an overt to tell you about them. That's because it's an inverted communication. It's not a communication. It's a communication that's got a twist on it. So, for theory, this is where we catch it on the scale. Pre-session 37 is directed at inverted communication, basically, simply to free up the communication lines. Okay? Now, later on, you'll run some failed help or something like that. You could, however, follow pre-session 37 in a severely difficult case with some control process like 8C, tone 48C, or the CCHs, something on that order. Or you might even start them with the CCHs. That's why the CCHs work, because they're way on down the line there. You see where that would belong theoretically. In actual practice, it hasn't been necessary to do this. It's actually been very necessary to pull the with holes, and it's very necessary to get off the failed help. If you've done that and located some havingness, you can then go back and pick up any inverted control that you think you have to correct in order to get the case off the launching pad. Got it? The theoretical smoothness would be to get off the withholds, do some SCS, start running failed help, and so forth, and who knows, we might someday switch and start running cases that way because there'd be too many of these cases that are on inverted control. But we're not doing it that way just now, and it hasn't been found necessary, and so on, but I don't want you to lose sight of the theory. By the way, you've noticed cases improving under just 8C. That was because you were taking the inversion off of control. All control is bad, you think. Now, you may someday find it necessary to do that after you pull some withholds off the guy while you have to run him a little bit of control before you can run any failed help on him. Well, you might find it, because that fits with theory. But in actual practice, you're going to do precession 37 and then the formulas, because it's not been found necessary to do anything else. I repeat that. It's just not been found necessary so far. But at the same time, we haven't been operating in an institution. It might be necessary on an institutional case. I'm thoroughly qualifying this. I'm telling you just what we know and what we don't feel necessary and what we haven't run into, okay? All right. What's this all about, this communication thing? What's this all about? Well, you know all there is to know about communication. There's affinity, reality, and communication, and they form a triangle. But when the triangle goes to zero, and all points of the triangle are all points of the triangle, there is no triangle, it starts getting to be a spread-out, confused mess. It inverts again. And it's sort of, to get the fellow up to zero, you've got to straighten out some of these points, like communication. Right? Now, if you were going to run off all of the overts off of the whole track as a process, I can tell you that you could do so. It's very interesting now, but I'm torn by a... I could tell you something here. That somebody hearing this tape or in this class is going to take wrong and someday use as an argument so as not to get off his overts. But for the sake of scientific accuracy, I must tell you that there is a process which does it all without revealing anything. It doesn't particularly put the PC in good ARC with the auditor. You got the idea? And after a person is still have to run some 37 before he could even run this process, I'm sure. But this process is the killer-diller process of communication that straightens out all communications. It's just a sort of a rising scale, get the idea process. You see what chance there is of running this is probably very poor on an awful lot of PCs you run into, but there is a process. And it gives you a better shape and size of what you're doing with overts. Get the idea, you must talk. Get the idea, you must not talk. This will take the kick off of these supercharged overts and that sort of thing. If it can be run, it's no substitute for getting somebody in an auditing session. Get the idea, you must talk. Get the idea, you must not talk, which is basic form. Get the idea, you must communicate. Get the idea, you must not communicate. Now, this gets very interesting. This is a good process. This is a very, very good process where it belongs. It doesn't belong on the inverted scale. It's a very, very good process. You might be able to do something with it at the lower scale. Processes do all kinds of things. But it's up in the upper scale that this process belongs. And you can adjust this process to fit innumerable situations and circumstances and difficulties a PC has. Get the idea, you must write.
must not write. It's the old dichotomy. Would undoubtedly take a lot of the edge off difficulties a professional writer was having. Got it? Get the idea you must put out a picture or must paint a picture or must not paint a picture. You got the idea? Looking at a sculptor down here, get the idea you must sculpt, must not sculpt. Or they're liable to go into an Indian life on that one and mishear it or something. Boy, you're really on the ball today. Now, you see somebody who has a fixation on firearms that they don't like, he could run something like, get the idea you must shoot, get the idea you must not shoot. Got it? You see, you could adapt this, that you must, some version of communication, that you must not. Some version of communication. And what are you running? You're running the enforce inhibit of the old CDEI scale. Curiosity, desire, enforce, inhibit, the old scale. And of course, that you must substitute for communication, but you must not auditor substitute for communication. Got the idea? This shows us the exact mechanism of withhold, overt, and so forth, whereas the outflow matches the inflow, and they lock. So it makes a ridge. If your PC gets the sensation of having something solid on his nose the second he sits in an auditing chair, you know exactly what it's all about. You see, it's the must talk, mustn't talk. Get the idea? Must talk out, mustn't talk in, ridge. See that? As time goes on, and as more and more of our old troops and so forth, back down through the wars and so on, who have long since decided never to fight a war again, get picked up and put into the military, they find more and more peculiar things happening in armies, such as 60% or something like that, or 40% of the soldiers in World War II never discharged their weapons. That sounds pretty daffy, but I heard such a figure from the Pentagon, and the Pentagon, of course, must be believed. Call it the Pentagon because it takes you so long to get any place in it. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Anyway, if you can imagine somebody with a bonsai charge or a bunch of Panzers or something coming straight down on him, you know, gonna wipe him out, you know, and wipe out the regiment and wipe out the glory and the democracy and the president and go right straight on through to Wheeling, West Virginia. He won't save his life or anybody's life on any dynamic, you see? There he stands with a bazooka, you know, a bazooka, and points a bazooka, but he just can't bazooka. He just doesn't fire the bazooka. Or he misses. You know? There's the tank, 15 yards away, there he is, the bazooka held in, and so forth. And somehow or another, it lands on the command post. But basically, he is actually physically incapable of firing. He comes up with a garand or some other excuse for a weapon. And, you know, and anything to do with him. He couldn't even close the trigger. I'm trying to give it to you in a more messy form, you understand? He's been trained to fire it. He's got sergeants around. My God, he's even got second lieutenants around. He's got the enemy in front. There's every reason in the world. It's a patriotic duty. There's been pamphlets and songs and everything else that convince him he should fire this thing. His women folks at home will think he is a coward. They will never speak to him again. As a matter of fact, they aren't interested. They're all out in the bars. But anyhow, all propaganda pressure has been brought to bear that he must fire this Grand. See? Every possible psychological mechanism, of course, they're not very successful, but every possible psychological mechanism, you see, has been brought to bear, and his finger freezes. Can't do it. 40% of the weapons in an infantry company undischarged during a battle. That's supposed to be the figures. If they were put out by a general, I don't believe them, because no general ever got up in the lines. But anyhow, the score there, I'm just giving you a dramatic example of this. See? That is an outflow. You understand? Already he's getting bullets coming by him, but he wouldn't even need those to re-stimulate it. But it causes the old inflows, you see? So the outflow locks with the inflow. Out, you go. Get the idea? And he can't fire. Now, a PC sitting there with an extreme withhold is in the same position in reverse. The withhold says, mustn't, you know, communicate out, mustn't talk, mustn't shoot, mustn't talk, you know. And he gets all set to tell you, you know. And then finally misses entirely and says, well, I was cross with a puppy once. And then the next time you ask him the question, you see it on the meter, you know. It falls, and then it doesn't fall. You see this strange fall. I stole a penny from my mother's purse when I was 5. I didn't want to tell you that. I told you that. And you ask him again, what question should I ask you? You'll see it disappear off the meter again. Now, I'm sure the fellow would have fired if the sergeant had kicked him in the head at that exact moment. Got the idea? So the E-meter tells you when the exact moment is, and you should kick the PC in the head. If you run OWs by the meter, you can't miss. What'd you think of that? There it was. Yeah, that's it. Tell me now. That's right. That's the one. That's the one you're thinking. Tell me now. That's right now. That one. That's it. That's the one. That's the one. Tell me that one. Yes. That's pretty good. All right. Thank you very much. Guy is sitting there for a moment, totally stunned. I shot. One of the major things this does is convincing that he can shoot. Run it by the meter. Don't sit there and say, what question shouldn't I ask you? Well, you shouldn't ask me if I'm a virgin. Well, are you a virgin? No, I'm not a virgin. Well, what question shouldn't I ask you? Well, I shouldn't ask you a question. Question is, ask me anything. I'll give you the classes of questions that it would be all right to ask me, or the classes of questions which it wouldn't be all right to ask. I'll kick him in the head, man. See, he's sitting on one. These people are going to classes of questions and that sort of thing. That's a real dodge. All right. Run it by the meter. That's what's important. Now, it's this lifetime that is bearing heavily upon his soul. His immediate criminal past, consisting of stealing breadsticks in Italian restaurants, is wearing heavily upon his soul. But remember, all this is backed up by the old ruddy blinking track. The mechanism by which he doesn't tell you and doesn't shoot anymore is called forgettingness. Did you ever hear of this? The whole source of the wipeout of the past consists of its withhold. This is the entire source of forgettingness. There might be many other explanations for forgettingness, but actuality, this mechanically factual, this is how memory folds up. Just a few more withholds, and there it goes. Now, of course, you can turn it on, something you wouldn't mind forgetting and so forth. There's a method of getting him to shoot. You can handle the actual forgettingness on a sort of a slow, idea, long, slow train to Arkansas basis. But the way to pick up his memory in a hurry is to get off the withholds. Very interesting, isn't it? Because he isn't guilty of not communicating if he doesn't know about it. And the mechanism of getting rid of withholds is not knowing about them. You will find many PCs in this lifetime have shut down many overts, which are withholds now, and the PC just doesn't remember them, but they show on the E-meter. So sometimes you're going to get this mechanism of how it goes on the E-meter, and you say, what was that? I don't know what that was. Well, don't pester him too much. Ask it again. Think of something you've done. Think of something you withhold. Get some little overts off of some kind or another. But watch it. Watch it, because you've got somebody who is shutting down lives in this lifetime. This lifetime is segmentalized. This lifetime exists in several periods, known as the college period, the grade school period, the early business period, my first marriage period. You got the idea? And these are all shut down. They act like past lives, totally like past lives. Guy has no reality on him. I mean, past life on a person who's having a bad time. No reality. And as these things start to come up, you start to peel them off. Now, probably if you ran pre-session 37, expertly enough and long enough, you would start into the backtrack with great reality. You see, every one of you committed a murder within the last few decades. I say the last few decades so you girls will be happy. last 16 or 17 years, ladies. You guys, the last 40, 50, 60 years. Listen now. You committed a murder. You did. You might have been pretty 1-1 about it, but you sure knocked off a body. Nobody else killed your last body but you. You're the person that put it out there in the middle of the railroad track. Nobody else did. You may still be blaming the conductor, but that's a handy mechanism, too. I remember one time, first time Dick was auditing me a little bit, and he slammed me into the racetrack period of the Marcab Confederacy, you know, slammy back there. I was putting up all right with it. It was all motivator, you know. It was all motivator. It was solid motivator from one end of that racetrack to the other for a long period of time. I put up with that for a little while, and all of a sudden began to get very funny, is I never got killed on any racetrack. But I sure have killed an awful lot of my bodies on racetracks. You know, get along just about so far and then take the car and throw it into the fence.
explain it all, you know, explain it all. You know, you have to skid, and there was Joe up here, and he couldn't drive well, and he went between the hall and so on. But actually, you just took your car and threw it in the concrete fence. That was the end of that body. All plain to the eye, you know, just visible to one and all that you were killed or that you died from a disease or your body let you down. Well, of course, that's so early. That is to say, that's so late on the track. Such a short time ago means it's so late on the track. You've already done it so doggone much that you haven't... It doesn't even look like a withhold anymore. You get the idea? But you withheld even from yourself that you did it. See? Now, the withholds get to be withholds from self, which is forgettingness. That is, by accurate technical definition, that is a forgettingness. It's a withhold from self. It can only occur when you are in another valence than you. A person who has a bad memory is in another valence, and he's in another valence usually because of withholds, but at the same time, he is withholding from this other valence, but he is the other valence. You get the complications involved in this thing. But it's basically must communicate, can communicate, see? Must communicate, can communicate, some version or another. Now, don't think that everybody is just super aberrated on the whole deal anyhow, all the way across the boards, because there's many things you don't withhold. If you ask somebody while he was performing something expertly that he shouldn't know how to do this lifetime, if you ask him how come and that sort of thing, you get one of two reactions. He will either forget it promptly and not be able to do it again. Bing! See, the guy's been discovered and he finds out. Or he'll simply remember it. That is, to the degree that he's willing to get off the withhold. Got it? You've got a lot, a tremendous number of withholds on the whole track, because individuals are always teaching each other not to communicate. There are only two crimes in this universe. One of them is to be there, and the other is to communicate. Those are the two crimes of the universe. Being there and communicating. Well, being there has to do with control, and of course communicating has to do with communicating. Being there and outflowing, being there and inflowing. And when everybody is teaching everybody else that they mustn't outflow, you naturally get lots of assistance, apparently, but the assistance actually only works because you yourself think you have been teaching a lot of people not to outflow. What do you do in a gunfight, you see? You draw first and shoot before the other fellow can fire. What are you teaching him? You're teaching him not to shoot. Wild Bill Hickok killed 74 men. One day, as he's cleaning up a saloon, his deputy, who had been told to stay over in the sheriff's office, heard some shots in the saloon, was concerned for Wild Bill, came tearing in the back door. Wild Bill was triggered up, saw somebody flash into the back door behind him, swished sideways, and shot his own deputy dead. He never killed another man. He never shot at another man. As a matter of fact, himself was killed up in the Black Hills not too long afterwards. Get how the mechanism is? You see, it's a shot he should have withheld. So he goes on withholding all shots. Got the idea? He figures he made a mistake. Now, he's perfectly willing to teach all these other fellows to withhold bullets. But he wasn't willing to teach one fellow, so he got what is called a failed overt. Now, I've got another little piece of news for you along this line. And that is, overts don't amount to a hill of beans. It isn't the overt, it's the failed overt that hangs you. You run into this sometime, and you'll get mighty surprised. Failed overt. Because it's a failed intention, and the whole of aberration is totally patterned on a failed intention.
a successful or a failed intention. So an overt basically has to be a failed intention, therefore it's a failed overt. You intend to kill somebody that you shouldn't kill, you see. But then it's a failed overt because you shouldn't have killed them. Only it's not a failed overt, don't you see, because you should have killed them. But you should kill people, but that isn't right. You get how mixed up the thing gets? So now the fellow goes into a confusion. He abandons the whole thing, whether it's outflow or inflow, and of course the confusion packs up in the ridge. You got the idea? But it's basically a failed overt. It's all right for you to beat somebody's head in if you intended to beat somebody's head in, but it's not all right for you to beat somebody's head in if you didn't intend to beat his head in. You got the idea? Now, it's also not all right for you not to beat somebody's head in if you intended to beat somebody's head in. You ever get licked in a fight? It's all right to scold somebody if you intended to scold somebody, but what if you didn't intend to scold somebody? Or, conversely, you intended not to scold them and you scold them. Or you don't scold them and you should scold them. You get the idea? That's just the failed overt, see? It's a mishmash of intention is what you're running into. And that's what makes overts overts. That's what makes withholds withholds. That's what makes them bad. And that's all that hangs them up in the bank. I'm sorry if that sounds like it doesn't agree with contemporary morality. Because everybody wants everybody to believe that certain things are overts and certain things are not overts. Got the idea? But that's just what you've been training people to do for a long time. Your training results eventually in a moral code. You say, well, that's unreasonable. Actually, you shouldn't shoot people. That's fine. You shouldn't shoot people. That's right. It's been agreed upon for so long that you shouldn't shoot people that they stop the bullets and die. That's what makes it an overt, see? You don't mean to tell me that somebody can actually stick a tiny little hole through you and cause you to depart and not be able to put the mock-up back together. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Well, you just lost your grip, that's all. There isn't any reason why you can't pick up a body, your own body, slam it against the wall and put it back together again totally without even a bruise and not even forming a facsimile. Tell you that it's bad. You could probably drop one the whole height of the Empire State Building and not even have it splatter. Except that you intended it to. Got it? No, you'd have to agree to have holes in bodies and have bad things happen, and by making bad things happen, but then by failing to make bad things happen, and trying to convince people that certain things that happen are bad, and then failing to convince them. And then you convince them by setting an example and showing them in your own beingness that they are bad. You tell some fellow, now look, you're going to get a bellyache if you drink that water out of that stream because it's polluted. And he says, oh, nuts, and reaches down and grabs a mug full of the water and drinks it down. You watch him for a day or so, and not a single thing happens to him. You get diarrhea. That's the failed overt. What you're plumbing for on these withholds, the ones that are the roughest, are those that are actually based on failures. If you analyze them out, you see that as a fact. So, it isn't true that every overt on the whole track has to be pulled in order to make somebody well. Only the failed overts have to be pulled. And they are not anywhere as numerous as the others. Right? Now, you'll have enough failed overts on a certain subject that a person just doing something in that class of subject will immediately feel upset and feel that he's committed an overt. That's based on the earlier material, okay? If you want to improve somebody's memory, get somebody into communication, square somebody around and so forth, well, I get the overt withhold sequence straightened out. That is the best advice that anybody can give you. To straighten it out at a higher tone level, you'd have to be must communicate, some version of it, and must not communicate, And you'll discover all sorts of fascinating things in the bank, because that, if anything, is the core of the reactive bank. Why? Because the outflow locks up with the inflow, and it makes ridges, which, of course, brings about the condition we know of as a reactive bank, an energy mass and energy masses. Got it? That is the bank. It's the overt-withhold sequence. The overt-withhold sequence, however, is a limited phenomenon. Very limited. The individual has to be obsessively at the receiving end of things, or obsessively at the sending end of things, and very self-determined on a reactive line, and never pan-determined on certain subjects in order to get all grouped up in this much energy on certain subjects. A reactive bank only occurs when an individual obsessively becomes something which is another valence, but that he calls himself only. And then he has a ball. Then he can get a reactive bank. So we walk the person up toward pan-determinism, and the overt withhold sequence falls out as a mechanism. It falls out fairly low on the tone scale, as a matter of fact. But while a person is going up through that level of the tone scale, he can get mighty worried. He can become absolutely certain that if this is every time he does something to anything, he gets it back himself, there is no point in living. And he can become mighty dreary about the whole thing. You mean he'll never again be able to pick up a blast pistol and blow some doll in half. He will never again be able to haul off and hit somebody over the head. He's got now to be peaceable and good. This is the conclusions he comes up with. He decides, well, after all, I've just got to be super disciplined, super controlled, super straight-jacketed, and I am all set. That's not true at all. He comes up into a pan-determinism and can control life without knocking somebody's ruddy head off. Okay? That's it. Thank you.